And when he was here on earth, he was asked by this man, talk to my brother about our inheritance. Obviously, there was some inequity, some sense that he was being missed out or unable to claim all that was rightfully his. And so he came to the Lord and asked him, Lord, would you intervene and talk to my brother about this inheritance? Well, the Lord was having none of it. He spoke to this claimant in very, very, very clear terms. And you'll notice the words in verse 14. And he said, man, who made me a judge over you or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Ian Gollaher. It is a joy to bring you the message of the Lord today. And today we're going to look at riches, riches that damn the soul. Am I being too forthright here? But this is real. This is true. There is a confidence that man puts upon material things that robs him of any ability to put his trust in the Lord. Now, the Lord told a parable on this, and I must say that I love parables. These are parallel stories that you can line up the visual scene with a spiritual principle and lesson in the heavenly arena. And so I hope that today that you will listen here to God's word, to what the Bible has to say on riches. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room whereby to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. For God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. That's the word of the Lord in this famous parable, a parable of the rich fool. Today's program, we'll be getting to that. But firstly, we have a couple of hymns. There's Don't Go Away Without Jesus. And then we have also, when I in awesome wonder consider all thy wondrous works. May the Lord minister to your heart through this program today.
Right, Luke chapter 12, we're coming to this rich fool, the man who was talking to himself. That's the first mark of a fool. He was talking to himself. And when he was talking to himself, he was talking big talk. Talk of bigger things, bigger barns, more goods, years of ease to come. And of course, the Lord said, and that's where the end of his talking comes. And you will mark in a particular verse, it says, but the Lord said. As we think of this rich fool, I want you to imagine tonight someone who has lived on a lonely island in the world, never been in a city, never been in modern civilization, and suddenly he's dropped off in the center of New York City. Can you imagine the shock to discover revolving doors, escalators, elevators, yellow taxis? And then maybe he moves on down to Washington City, and there he discovers the homes, the buildings where presidents, first ladies live, and all the richness of life. And then he discovers computers, modern day communication, and he's starting to get used to these things. And then again, he's dropped off back in his lonely island, back amongst his people where he was born and grew up. And there they are, they're trading in rocks, fish bones, feathers, and maybe arguing over those things. Would he not call his own people a fool? What if you were translated into heaven? You were to join with the angels and enjoy all the glory, the land where there is no darkness, no pain, no suffering, no night, to sit at the feet of the King and hear the eternal choruses singing the songs of the Lamb, and then to be brought back down to earth to discover two brothers that are arguing over an unearthly inheritance. That's the situation our Lord Jesus was in, because he came from heaven, he being God, knew the glory of heaven, the wonders of it. And when he was here on earth, he was asked by this man, talk to my brother about our inheritance. Obviously, there was some inequity, some sense that he was being missed out or unable to claim all that was rightfully his. And so he came to the Lord and asked him, Lord, would you intervene and talk to my brother about this inheritance? Well, the Lord was having none of it. He spoke to this claimant in very, very, very clear terms. And you'll notice the words in verse 14. And he said, man, who made me a judge over you, or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he put down this debacle between these two brothers as covetousness, greed. Over what? Over things that in eternity don't matter. They will have no lasting importance. And how many hearts in this world are exposed as earthlings over lawsuits and domestic fights over inheritances. It's a very common affair in this world. But it's still more grieving to find that a vast number of this people reject the kingdom of God because they insist upon more of this world. And it was for that reason that the Lord told this parable. A certain rich man who, when his crops were bountiful, began to talk to himself about building bigger barns and storing up for the future. But that night, his soul was required, and he would be in eternity. And so the Lord gave this piece of advice, that a man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesseth. In this account the Lord gave here, that was right advice because of the need of our souls. The Lord Jesus, he told this parable. He spoke about this farmer, and he was facing this decision. Decision of what am I going to do with all these fruits? Such a bumper harvest this year. And so he began to think big. And how he reflects the attitude, the ideology of so many. I will store up for the future. I will take my ease tomorrow. I will eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I die. But not now. How many think like this? Some are very good at amassing fortunes to die rich. Do you ever think about that? Some people are just good at it. Others, they talk about it, but it never happens. Others, they seem to be able to do it. They come up with some entrepreneurship idea, some business venture. They get into some investment scheme, and before you know it, they have amassed riches beyond the average and have acquired great possessions. Well, this farmer was thinking of all of that. And this farmer's soul that night was required. None of these riches would be of any value at all at the judgment bar of God. And all these earthly riches, they have absolutely no value in heaven. If we believe tonight what Peter taught in 2 Peter chapter 3, that everything in this world is going to be burned up by fire, reserved unto judgment, not like Noah's day as water, but that there's coming a day of conflagration when this earth will be burned up by fire and all will be destroyed. Now, no man can claim to be rich toward God who is living under the guilt of sin. That really becomes the issue. This is really a sin issue, not a stuff issue. And yet how many are so cumbered and filled with care about the stuff of life, and thereby they are handicapped with their riches, which cause them to even sell their soul. Now, peace with God will never be found through earthly riches. And what our Lord Jesus said, that a man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesseth. That's true because of the need of your soul. Your soul, to be saved, you need to deal with the sin question, the guilt issue, the broken commandment, the sin that you will have to answer to when you stand on the eternal day before God. Now, real riches before God on that eternal day are riches that come through Christ. And of course, the Bible has an awful lot to say about the riches of grace, the riches of the gospel, he that thought it not robbery to be equal with God became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich. And not rich in dollars and cents and bank accounts and assets in material things, but rich toward God. Now those riches, They come through the death of the Lord Jesus. They are the riches of atonement, reconciliation, the sacrifice of Christ that no money can ever either purchase or put a value upon. Peter put it this way, we are redeemed not by silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ, the invaluable, the incalculable blood of the Lord Jesus. And that's what makes a man rich toward God.
When trials and troubles surround you, the road seems eternally long. Your life seems a meaningless wasted way, and everything seems to go wrong. To wander in helpless confusion can lead you to only one end. The way of the lost and forsaken, away from your heavenly friend. Oh, don't go away without Jesus. Oh, don't go away without Him.
Are you rich toward God? Maybe you could tell me how much is in your bank account. No, don't do that. I don't need to know. But you could tell me. It's a possibility. I'm not asking you. But you could tell me. The last time I looked, I had such an amount of money in my bank account. At least the digits were appearing either on a statement or a computer screen the last time I checked. And you can speak of your self-worth, your assets in this life. But that's not the question. Are you rich toward God? Now, sin is debt. Sin has to put on that debt scale, and that puts you into the credit. You owe. You're in debt. You're in the hole. And you need the riches of the Lord Jesus to redeem you and save you. Now, the Lord Jesus, I'm coming back to this statement, a man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesseth. It's true because no man knows the hour when his soul is required. This man certainly didn't. And to hoard an abundance of riches would make sense if we knew that we would live to enjoy them for a long, long period of time, but we don't. And this farmer counted on many years. He boasted of a long life, great enjoyment of the abundance that was his, but to his horror, he would not even see this harvest gathered in. He didn't even see these barns built, because no one knows the hour of their death. Death is a divine appointment, and God in his eternal calendar has the date and the hour and the moment set when you're going to leave this world, and you will leave everything, absolutely everything, behind. Your physical body will return to dust. Your soul will go out into eternity, and you will either be in heaven or hell. If you have played the fool like this man, put your trust in earthly riches, your soul will be lost immediately in hellfire. That's why you need to be rich toward God. Now, death is a divine appointment. It's also a secret appointment. No one can tell you how long you will live or the day of your death. I can't do it. A medical doctor couldn't do it. No matter what his learning nor skills, no man can tell you how long you have to live. And of course, many leave this world in so differing circumstances. Last Sunday evening, I told you about Daniel Petka. I was speaking over the men's retreat to, well, he's married into the family. It's a bit of a marriage web. Vince Tallman's brother has married Rachel Petka, who is the sister of the young man that died in the car accident that took place a few weeks ago. Vince was telling me the circumstances of that death. As I told you, they were traveling by car to visit a grandmother with his aunt. I learned this week that the aunt was the first person to arrive on the scene. She was already dead. Daniel was not. Daniel was still conscious. The woman who came upon the scene looked into the vehicle, saw Daniel, and saw a Bible that was probably in the glove compartment of the car and rolled out into the seat. She was a Christian. She took the Bible and began to read to Daniel. He had a lucid moment or two, and he mumbled in prayer, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." And then he died. Isn't it amazing that God would have a messenger, a Christian, to be with Daniel in his hour of passing? I also learned that last summer, Daniel was out in Africa building or helping in the construction of an orphanage. I learned that he was really bright for the Lord, and yet God called him home. Now, was he rich toward God, or was he counting on the riches of this world? I think we can have confidence. Well, firstly, he knew the gospel. He was willing to go and serve the Lord for the gospel's sake, that he was laying up riches toward heaven. He was making good use of his gifts and interest in Christ. Now, what about you tonight? If you were to meet death suddenly, do you have riches toward God?
Thank you for joining us here on the program today, and I trust that you have learned to appreciate the value of a soul. I want to read to you a little excerpt from a booklet I have in hand called Pardon for Sin and Assurance of Peace with God, and the article is entitled, The Soul That is Lost. The Bible says, The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die, Ezekiel 18:4. The death spoken of here includes all that God inflicts upon a lost sinner in consequence of sin. Every sinner is condemned already, even while he lives. Ye are just like a man condemned to die for murder, and lying in jail waiting for the moment of execution. God's messenger, death, may come soon to summon you. God's wrath abides upon you. God is angry with the wicked every day. You are a child of the devil and his slave. The devil is the great enemy of God and man. He goes about to ruin your body and soul. He is your master. You are doing day by day what the devil wishes you to do. And of all masters, he is the most cruel. You shall die some day, and it may be very soon and very suddenly. Then the day will come when you will hear the trumpet of God, and you will rise from your grave. If you have died without Christ, your damned soul will be forced to enter into your damned body, and you will have to stand before the Lord in judgment. God's book will be opened. Every wicked word you ever spoke and every wicked deed you ever did will be read out before the assembled world, and you will hear the voice of Jesus say, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I could go on here in this booklet, but I think you will see that there is a very forthright presentation of the urgent need of all men to be saved. Now, this is not a negative book, because the next page, as I turn it, it talks about 14 blessings in Christ. And hopefully tomorrow we will get into some of those. But I'd like to send you this little 32-page booklet, Pardon for Sin and Assurance of Peace with God. You may send for it here. The website information and all that is coming up right now. May the Lord bless you and encourage your heart. And above all, save your soul and send you rejoicing in God's so great salvation. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.